Biden sanctioned Alaska more than he sanctioned Iran. President Trump, exactly the opposite. We're going to sanction Iran. We're going to stop the oil flow that's funding the wars that are fought against us. And we're going to unleash American energy in places like Alaska, North Dakota, other. And we can do this. We can do this, and we can still protect all of our best places. We can do this as we've done in North Dakota, where North Dakota is a tremendous energy-producing state, and we're always among the top in the cleanest air, cleanest water, soil health. Nobody cares more about North Dakota than the people that live there, and we've got to get this out of the hands of D.C. bureaucrats, get it back out to people in the states, in the tribes, that want to do this for the benefit of the American people. And that's what was intended. When Theodore Roosevelt put away hundreds of millions of acres of public land, that land belongs to the public, doesn't belong to D.C. bureaucrats and the Biden administration. And we have an opportunity to use the balance sheet of America. We talk about our debt, $36 trillion. Our balance sheet on the asset side is so much larger than that debt. And there's an expectation that President Trump has. He's doing an incredible job, the pace he's operating. But he's got an expectation that in the interior, where we control much of the balance sheet of America, that we're going to get a return on that balance sheet for Americans, and we're going to make America prosperous, and we're going to make the world safer.
So let's talk about what America energy dominance will lead to. All of these efforts, the pace that you're at, I know you've spent a lot of time with President Trump, you and Catherine at the Super Bowl with him, flying over from Mar-a-Lago and spending a lot of time. When the two of you are together, what is the conversation like, and what is the ultimate goal? What will American energy dominance mean?
Well, I got to say, you mentioned the trip from Florida to the Super Bowl, flying over the Gulf of America, being with the president when he makes the historic name change to Gulf of America. That was a very special moment to be there, part of that. And we're there because, as Secretary of Interior, the board that changes geographic names in America is part of Interior. So that was a special, fun day. But what it looks like, Scott, it looks like we're going to sell energy. Under President Trump, energy dominance. We'll sell energy to our friends and allies, whether that's in Western Europe, whether that's the meeting that we had last week with the Prime Minister of Japan. They want to buy U.S. energy. They want to buy it from us. They don't want to buy it from our adversaries. And if they do that, that helps lower the trade deficit. Japan, they sell more to us than we sell to them. They buy energy from us. That could get the trade deficit with Japan to zero for the first time in 40 years. Better for both of our countries, better for national security. So energy dominance is, you know, it's going to lower prices at home, and it's going to make the world safer around the world. And I'm telling you, we execute on this. President Trump's going to win a Nobel Peace Prize for ending two wars. And I think he's got a pathway. We can get out of this Cold War with China and win the AI arms race against China.
So I got to ask you about the Gulf of America decision. I know some people have seen it. Oh, how can they change the name of the Gulf? It's been the Gulf of America. Talk about the genesis of that idea, what it means. Last time I checked, Mexico is part of North America, right? I mean, so it's still the Gulf of America. It's theirs. It's ours. But it has a new name. Why?
Well, I think this is just part of President Trump projecting what his belief in America, when he talks about America first, when he runs, when he makes promises, he keeps them. And this should be a moment of pride for Americans to say, as you said, I mean, this is North America, and this is the Gulf of America. And that Gulf of America, includes enormous rich resources. Joe Biden, in his last week in office, did an executive order to take 625 million acres of offshore production off the map. I mean, he basically wiped out trillions of dollars of positive asset off our balance sheet with a stroke of a pen. And of course, now President Trump has unbanned that ban. We've followed through with that with secretarial orders from Interior to unban that ban. Because again, offshore is 15% of U.S. energy production from an oil and gas standpoint. We do it cleaner, better, safer than anyone else in the world. And anybody that cares about the environment should want it done here. So again, whether it's the renaming of the Gulf or an understanding about how energy security is national security energy dominance. It means lower prices for everyone. President Trump gets it, and he's instructing everybody, every agency, not just Interior, through the creation of the National Energy Dominance Council. We're going to cut red tape across government and help unleash American capital towards developing our resources from Alaska to the Gulf of America.
So on his first day, Biden took a dagger to the heart of energy, taking federal lands off limits, lost in court and still defied it. And you're telling me on his last day he was doing the same. How do you undo that damage?
Well, much of what he did, like I mentioned with Alaska, the 68 executive orders against Alaska, we can undo those with President Trump's executive orders. But then we've got to get to work. We've got to get to work doing the work that is actually conducting the leases to allow the private sector to go in and responsibly develop these minerals. I mean, you followed it here in North Dakota. When I left office, we were suing the federal government on 30 different fronts, and we were not at all. I mean, states like Wyoming that are 40% public land and Utah that are 60%, Nevada is 80% owned by the federal government. Those public lands, each of those governors had more lawsuits going on with the Biden administration than we did in North Dakota, where we've only got 7% of our land is federal, but 30% of our minerals were being negatively affected by the Biden rules and mandates. So everybody out west that's in a public land state is literally joyous right now because we're stripping away all these restrictions, getting back to the purpose. When Theodore Roosevelt put away these 100 millions of acres of public land, they weren't for the bureaucrats in D.C. They were public lands. They were for the literally described as for the benefit and the use of the American people. That means, yes, we can responsibly cut a tree. Yes, we can responsibly graze cattle. Yes, we can do oil and gas development. Yes, we can mine for critical minerals as opposed to getting those from our adversaries. This is the blessing of public lands in America. Theodore Roosevelt understood it. President Trump understands it. This is our balance sheet, and we've got to put it to work for the American people to reduce our deficit and reduce our debt.
A lot of what you just described comes from the Bureau of Land Management. You obviously now head that agency as the Secretary of Interior. What will permitting reform look like? How will it, roll out? How quick can you move that, behemoth that has purposely slowed down American energy dominance? How quick will boots on the ground folks see the difference in permitting reform?
Well, they're going to see some of it very quickly because, A, we're going to actually start holding the auctions again that the Biden administration broke the law. First president since Harry Truman not to hold the quarterly auctions to allow companies to bid on doing resource development, whether that's, mining, oil and gas, timber, even getting a grazing permit. There's thousands of grazing permits that have been held up. So we've got to speed up the processing on all of this, go back to following the law on what we're doing. But it's not just that's all inside of Interior. But again, President Trump, the brilliance of President Trump creating the National Energy Dominance Council, this thing is going to allow us to have EPA. Lee Zeldin will sit on there. They can be cutting red tape. Chris Wright, a fantastic partner, the new Secretary of Department of Energy. And we've got Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture. She's going to be involved because of the importance of biofuels and ethanol, to Americans' energy picture. So this is President Trump. There's going to be more than 15 cabinet leaders or agency heads on this council. Everybody is going to be tasked with the job of cutting red tape across all of government, undoing the damage that Biden did, unleashing American energy for the benefit of the American public.
It's just absolutely amazing to see it happen, and the breathtaking pace at which it's happening is phenomenal. There's an incredible work ethic in President Trump. You share that gene as well, but it, the team around him is just amazing. Give me a quick 30 seconds on how this team is operating right now.
Well, the people that he's selected are people that many of them have private sector experience. They know how they've built and led large organizations. They know how to transform. They know how to lead. And President Trump has picked every one of us because he wants action and he wants transformation. There's zero business as usual going on in this administration. And if somebody's got an idea and you're in a meeting with President Trump and he'll tell you, and you give him an idea, and he'll be like, "Can you do it? Can you do it in half the time? And what do you need to do?" I mean, he said to me, "If it's a permit is an issue on an Alaska pipeline, I'll come down myself and get that permit in 24 hours."
That's amazing. More with the Secretary Doug Burgum today in our exclusive interview live from Giving Hearts Day after a short time out on What's on Your Mind. Back on What's on Your Mind, 11 before the top of the hour, talking with Secretary Doug Burgum from the Department of Interior today on an exclusive interview. We were talking before the break about President Trump. I mean, these first 3 weeks, I've been saying on the air, he's done more in 3 weeks than Joe Biden did in 4 years, and he's doing good, and we know that that Biden wasn't doing good. Does the man sleep, Doug?
Well, I've been with him when I know that he's gone through the night into the next day without it, so he's just incredible. And, of course, spending all the decades that I did in tech and the tech leaders that were that, you know, young tech leaders building big companies, you thought, hey, these are the hardest working CEOs in, you know, that you've ever seen. And President Trump exceeds all of those. I mean, his energy level, his acuity, what he's able to do and the span of what he does. I mean, at the prayer breakfast, last Wednesday morning, he did two of them. He did one at the Capitol. He did another one with, I think there was 8,000 people live and then other people there. And then he's, you know, with the Prime Minister of Japan negotiating, you know, an 800-mile-long pipeline in Alaska. Then he's, you know, meeting with Netanyahu. Then he's, you know, and it doesn't matter what he's doing, releasing hostages, doing EOs, appointing a great thing. I mean, like I said, it's just what he gets done in a day is – almost immeasurable, and his energy level is just as high at 11 p.m. at night as it is early in the morning. I mean, it's just incredible.
We're really lucky. We're really blessed, no doubt about it. Hey, I was just down in South Dakota not long ago, so saw the new governor down there, Larry Roden, and he is excited about July 2026 and bringing fireworks back to Mount Rushmore, and I said, "Hey, next time I talk to Secretary Burgum, I'll put a plug in because that's your signature, I believe, that requires that. Can you make that happen?"
Well, absolutely, we can, and we'll make sure it's done, you know, smartly and safely. We can do that, but it's USA 250. It's a birthday. That celebration, President Trump is taking over the USA 250 efforts. This will be in every national park. The Department of Interior, of course, we control the mall in Washington, D.C., the Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson Memorial, all the way up to the Capitol. That's all U.S. Park land. That's U.S. Park police. Interior plays a huge part in the celebration in D.C. And then when we've got historic locations, whether it's in Philadelphia, New York, or others, those are often National Park Historic sites. So we've got a big role in getting behind President Trump's vision for the greatest celebration in America ever. And one of those events, as you know, an official USA 250 event, is the opening of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library outside the Theodore Roosevelt National Park in Medora, North Dakota. And I'm confident that we're going to see the president not just at Mount Rushmore, but I think he'll be there for one of the opening events at the TR Library.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. A couple of the quick things I want to ask you. There's some hand-wringing about the tariffs raising gasoline prices. Talk about that briefly. Is that a legitimate concern?
Well, the tariffs, as you know, with Canada are on hold for the next 30 days, and discussions are continuing to go on, and it's important to understand that the genesis of that wasn't about trade. The genesis of that was really about the border. I mean, it's about a drug war, you know, not a trade war, and it's about the border. And while only 15% of the illegals were entering through the northern border, that number was going up as we tighten up the southern border. These cartels are smart. Canada has got an ability for a lot of people to get into their country on visas. They get in the country, and then they just find their way across a very open border with Canada. And we've captured enough fentanyl at that northern border to kill over 9 million Americans. And so it is an issue. I mean, China, through organized crime, moving fentanyl into the United States over that northern border is a real thing. And so, again, having been involved in these discussions and with both, but like the U.S., the border in Canada belongs to Trudeau and the federal government, not to the provinces, but some of the great provincial leaders, Danielle Smith and Scott Moe, Wab Canoe, who's the from Manitoba, Doug Ford from Ontario. They're all just like we are, just like states sent National Guard to the border. These provinces are beefing up their participation in securing the border when it's not even their responsibility. It's the responsibility of the federal Canadian government. So that's who President Trump is trying to put pressure on Trudeau to say, hey, do your part on military spending, do your part on making sure we secure the border, and that's the initial focus of these discussions.
Only a minute left, so a quick answer on both of these, if you would. There is the critics are everywhere. You know that. Teddy Roosevelt knew that. A lot of them say you're there to feather your nest, or other cabinet secretaries are there to further their net worth. Would you explain, number one, the guardrails there, and number two, how ridiculous that is? Because you could be making a lot more money in the private sector right now.
Well, it's a preposterous thing, Scott. I mean, it is the, you know, if somebody wanted to, as you say, feather their nest, they would stay in the private sector. I mean, this is for anybody that's serving at a cabinet level. It's a massive sacrifice. People have to sell assets, disclose everything, do whatever. I mean, the rules that are here are very tight. They're very clear. And everybody that I know that's doing this thing wouldn't need to do it, but they're doing it because they love the country. And the number one person that wouldn't need any of this is President Trump. And look at the sacrifices that he's making and his family has made, the attacks that he's endured. No one has ever been attacked in our history as a politician more than he has. And he's not only survived, he's come out stronger. And he's built a team that around him that cares and wants to help drive his agenda forward.
We're super proud of you and Catherine and what you're doing to lead the American energy dominance. Thank you for doing this. Sounds like you're having a lot of fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Scott. We're having a blast. Let's go USA.